Well, good morning. It's so good to have you worshiping with us online today. I hope you were listening earlier to Jake's announcements. Did you hear the one about the digital bulletin? You didn't? Well, let me tell you. If you go to faithlife.com/Dunkirk Baptist, you can download and access our digital bulletin, which has all of the sermon notes. It has the scripture passages that you can follow along, and it also has our announcements for the week. And the best thing is today, it's absolutely free. Yes, you heard it here. It is free. Download it. Use it throughout the sermon. faithlife.com/Dunkirk Baptist. Well, that's it for our commercials. Today, we're continuing with our message series called Got Hope. It's from the New Testament book of 1 Peter, and it was written to the early church believers who were experiencing all kinds of problems in their lives, kind of like we're facing today. He knew that they needed hope for the difficulties in their lives. And the themes of the passage throughout the passages of this book are God's grace and mercy, God's goodness, and of course, hope in Jesus Christ. These are messages that we need for today. And so for anyone listening, if you're looking for answers, if you know God, or if you're still looking to know him, stay tuned to our service today. And if you want to go back and listen to any of the previous messages, you can find them under Got Hope at our website, on our Facebook page, and also on YouTube. Last week in chapter 2, we talked about model citizens. We talked about the importance of paying attention to obeying our government. We're in submission, we're under their authority, and we need to listen to them because God places authority in our lives for our good. And God is our ultimate authority. So that's what we saw last week. And this week, we're talking about what do we do about work? It's the idea of what do you do if you have a bad boss? How do you respond to them? Does it make any difference if you're a Christian, how you live your life in the workplace, how you respond to your bosses? Before we read the passage, it's 1 Peter chapter 2 if you want to get ready and get there in your Bible. But before we read that, I just want to make sure that as when we talk about work, you realize that work is not a four-letter word. Well, actually it is a letter. It's a four-letter word. It has four letters, but it's not a bad word. Work is something that God created us for. We were created to glorify him, to know him. We were created to manage the resources of the earth. And yes, to do work. Genesis chapter 2, 15, right there in the very beginning of our account of creation. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it." This is before the fall. This is before Adam and Eve turned their backs on God's commands, before sin, before the curse of the earth, before anything had gone wrong. There was work to do. That's part of God's plan for our lives. Your goal is to do some kind of work, to feed your family, to care for the people around you, to care for your community, to be active. It's what we're supposed to do. Your goal in life is not, how do I get out of doing work? And how do I just live a life of recreation and leisure? Instead, it should be, how do I glorify God in the work he's given me to do? And if the work I'm doing, I'm not glorifying God, then maybe it means you need to find something else to do, but do work that brings glory to God. Well, let's pray before we read so that our hearts are in tune with God's word. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much that we can come together this morning. Thank you that we can worship you in word and in song. Thank you that even though this morning we're distanced by our social restrictions, thank you that we can sing praise to your name. Thank you that we can see each other's faces, some of them online, and thank you that we can look to your word for answers to our lives. Lord, as we read your word today, I pray that our hearts and our ears would be open, that we would be ready to listen to what you have to say to us, and that we would be prepared to make changes as needed in our lives. We just thank you and praise you in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 to 21. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin and you are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example, so that you might follow in his steps. The first thing we see is that we are to obey and respect your boss. Verse 18 says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. The word servant here typically refers to a household servant. This person, back when Peter wrote this, might have been an actual slave. They might have been owned property by a household, and they were doing whatever they were told to do. Or they might have been like an indentured servant, someone who was hired on and was given room and board in payment for doing service for that family. As this letter was written around 60 AD, almost 2,000 years ago, their lives are very different from our lives today. There were no things like employee benefits. There was no OSHA to protect employees from harm. There were no unions. There was no Better Business Bureau. There was really nothing to protect workers. And yet many Christians, many believers who gave their lives to follow Jesus Christ found themselves in a place where they were already servants. They were already possibly slaves serving someone. And Peter and Paul and a number of places throughout the New Testament, the message is, serve the Lord wherever you are. When we read these passages and we read about masters and servants, we can really apply these concepts to today's modern day concept of an employer and an employee. As an employee, you're working for someone else, whether that person actually owns the business or she might be a manager or a supervisor. You are under someone's authority and you are working for them. The word subject here, servants, be subject to your master. Subject means to submit or to obey. It's recognizing that that person has authority over you, that they have a place and a position where they are to tell you what to do, how to do it. And last week, again, we saw God's command to obey authority in our lives. Specifically, that was the government, but this is really rolling over into the same idea. God is our ultimate authority, and as we respond to authority in a respectful way, as we obey the authority in our lives, we are showing what it looks like to respect, honor, and obey God's authority in our lives. When you're at work, do you do what you're told? Do you do the bare minimum? Are you looking for ways to get out of work? Are you looking for ways to find someone else to do your work for you? Colossians 3 reminds us that whatever we do, we should be doing it to the glory of God. We're reflecting his character, and we're ultimately serving Jesus Christ, no matter what we're doing. Let me read those verses to you, Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Paul was writing to the Christians there, and again, he was talking to servants obeying their masters, and he said, whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord, and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what we do, no matter what your job is, your service is absolutely and ultimately to the Lord. So we want to do our best. And Peter made the point of telling servants to do this with all respect. Similar to the previous passage about submitting to authority, don't serve with bitterness. Don't serve with hostility. Show respect for those over you, your boss. And here's where it gets even a little bit harder. Not only do you do this for the good boss, but you do it for the bad boss. Do I still need to be respectful? Do I still need to listen to his authority? Yes, even a bad boss. So what does that look like? Well, you don't join in the workplace gossip. You don't talk about your boss behind his or her back. You'd be surprised how negative conversations can often turn positive just by you not chiming in, by you not being part of that same complaining grumble mill. We're told in Scripture to do all things without grumbling and complaining, and that certainly applies to us at work. Students, younger people, as you're listening to this, don't tune out and say, well, I don't have a job, I don't have to worry about any of these things. If your mom or your dad tell you to do something, that's doing work for someone in authority. If you have a coach or a teacher, it's the same type of thing. You're listening to them and you're responding in the right way. Before going into full-time ministry, I worked in corporate marketing for Sony, for Sharp Electronics. And over the years, I had a few bad bosses. Some of them were while I was still a college intern, and some of them were later in my career. But I had to do things like picking up my boss's dry cleaning for him. I had to do things like go to his house on a weekend and work on a big project because there just weren't enough hours Monday to Friday, you know, putting in a 70 or 80 hour work week. These particular bosses were pretty mean to most people, sometimes me too. And it was not easy to be respectful. It was not easy to avoid talking about them. But when those groups got together and they started doing it, I would either just get quiet or I'd move off and do something else. Because as a Christian, I knew that it was so much more important than being right or feeling valued, that I show honor and respect to my boss. Verse 19 back in 1 Peter tells us that we show grace when we honor and respect bosses, especially bad bosses. When we endure sorrow, when we endure difficulties, and we suffer unjustly for nothing we've done, even if you've done absolutely everything you think is right and you are punished, you should still show respect. You still work your hardest. You still honor your boss. Marion read Titus chapter 2 for us, and it's so clear in that passage that God's grace is the core of our salvation. He showed us love and kindness. He offered us his Son, Jesus' payment on the cross for our sins, when we did absolutely nothing good to deserve it. That's grace. Our gratitude to God should make us live our lives differently. It should make us want to show grace to other people, especially when they're not treating us well. When you show a good attitude, when you show good behavior, even when you're mistreated, especially when you're mistreated, it's a way that you show God's undeserved grace. And if people ask you why you're trying so hard, why you don't join in those complaining sessions, why you just keep working, when even when no one's watching, your answer should be, as a Christian, I'm working really for Jesus. I want to honor him in all that I do. Because he loves me, because he blesses me, even when I don't deserve it, I always want to do my best. And that's one of the ways that our testimony, like we talked about last week, shines like a light in the darkness. We're not looking for ways to draw attention to ourselves, but we're living our lives to honor and glorify God. Verse 20 gets a little real. It basically says you don't get credit for enduring bad behavior if you have done something wrong, if you've sinned. In the United States and in many places in the world, employees don't actually get beaten for doing a bad job. You might get reprimanded. You might be given harder assignments. You might be ignored for a promotion, but you're not physically beaten for your work, at least here in this country. But if you're a bad employee, you're not doing your job well, you're doing it halfway, or you're just looking to avoid work, potentially you deserve to be treated poorly. You deserve to be fired. And again, Peter repeated, when you're doing your best and you suffer for it, then you magnify God's grace. You show kindness that's totally undeserved and unwarranted. But when you say, I'm enduring suffering and you're the cause of that suffering, you really deserved it, then you have no right to say, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this as a Christian. You're actually having a bad testimony as a believer. Verse 21 in 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that we're called to suffer. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. You are not saved to a life that's going to be more comfortable. You are not saved to keep living the same way you were before, to keep on sinning, to keep disregarding God's law and God's commands, his word. You were saved to become a new creation. You were saved to be transformed, to become more and more like Jesus Christ, God's Son. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells with us. Scripture says he makes his home with us. So why would we live our lives the way we always did? That spiritual transformation usually comes when we endure trials, when we suffer, even when doing good. That's when we learn that we need to respond in a way that glorifies God. Instead of getting angry, instead of getting bitter, instead of looking for ways to get back at your boss, instead of looking for ways to cheat the system because you're not being paid well, you respond by working your best and you show God's grace. This is not at all what the health, wealth, and prosperity preachers talk about. This is really, though, what's at the core of the gospel. In Luke 9:23, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth to offer salvation to all who would believe as he died on the cross. He was falsely accused. He was rushed through an illegal trial with people presenting false witnesses. They lied about him, and yet he remained silent. He was beaten. He was whipped almost to death, and then he was made to carry his own cross to his execution place. Death on a cross was the public death that the people of Rome wanted to make sure everyone knew that this person had done something wrong, and you better not do what he's doing. They wanted to make an example of him. And the crime, what was written above his head, was Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. What was his crime? That he was the Son of God, that he was the King of the Jews. And of course, as you read through those passages, you know that the religious leaders, the Jews of the day, did not want to accept him as their king. And they tried to make it look like he was he was trying to cause an upheaval. He was trying to cause a rebellion. So Rome said, okay, we'll crucify him, but it's really on your hands. You're the ones who are doing this. Next week, we're going to talk even more about this in the last couple of verses of chapter 2. But the point that I want you to see today is that whether you're in the workplace, whether you're at school, whether you're online studying, whatever you do, if you believe that you're being mistreated, if you believe that you're undervalued, if people are lying about you, if they're trying to get you into trouble, your response is to show them God's grace. Continue to show them God's love, his mercy. The way you react is going to be your testimony. And we're called in this passage to obey and to submit to the authority over us, whether it's the government, whether it's our boss, whether it's a teacher or a coach, whoever is in those positions of authority, even if you think they're bad at what they're doing, God calls us to obey. Why? Because when we do this, we show love just like Jesus did. We show his example. Even when hanging on the cross for these crimes that he didn't commit, Jesus called out to his heavenly Father and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand that they're crucifying your Son. Forgive them, Father. He showed unconditional love. So as we wrap up this morning, some closing thoughts, some questions that I want you to just think about is in these next couple of minutes. You may not love your job, but this message is really all about your heart. I've talked to quite a few people who have problems at work. They have problems with their bosses. They have problems with their coworkers. And when they go to a new place and a new job, they seem to still have problems with their bosses. They still seem to have problems with their coworkers. And they maybe get to a point where they just think, well, everyone's out to get me. People just don't understand me. They don't see and appreciate what I'm doing or how I'm acting. You're never going to find a perfect boss. You're never going to find a perfect workplace, perfect coworkers. Is the problem you? You can't change other people, but the way you react to them can make all the difference. We can ask God to make changes in our hearts so that we are doing our best no matter what. God's word calls us to live in a way that brings honor to him, to submit to his ultimate authority in everything. So what's your attitude towards work? Are you always doing your very best? Do you obey? Do you honor? Do you respect your boss? Even when he's not looking, even when no one else is watching. And then when there are instances where you're corrected, where you're told that the way you did something was not the right way, or here's even just a better way to do it, how do you respond to that? Do you listen? Do you humbly hear that correction and try to do it better the next time, or even just do it someone else's way? This is a hard part in all of our lives, to be humble and think that our way is not always the best way. Or if someone is telling you to do something, especially a boss who's in authority, you have to do it their way. If you're wrongly accused for doing something, do you keep fighting for your rights to make sure that no one else gets credit or someone else is blamed for what went wrong? Do you recognize that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you sometimes will suffer? You will be treated badly, even when you've done absolutely nothing wrong. Jesus said, don't be surprised by this. You will face trials. You will face temptations. But remember, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I have something so much better waiting for you, this perfect world that we look forward to. When things are not going well, do you see that as an opportunity to show God's grace to a lost world? Or do you get mad at people? Do you hold on to that bitterness and look for ways to validate yourself? Becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is not a road to prosperity. It's not a road to perfect health. It's not a road to wealth or privilege. It's often a road to suffering and adversity. But the rewards are phenomenal. Real peace, a personal relationship with God who not only loves you but created you, a better understanding of your purpose here on earth, salvation for your sin, your inner conflict, and ultimately it's eternal life with Jesus Christ. We have the promise of heaven. And this truly is worth it all. It's worth putting up with bad bosses. It's worth putting up with difficult employees and coworkers, because we have the opportunity to show what God has done in our lives. Real hope is found only in Jesus Christ, a lasting relationship with God through salvation in him. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would invite you to take that step of faith today. What does this look like? It means praying, talking to God, and admitting that you have sinned against God, a perfect, holy God, and admitting that you can do nothing to save yourself. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that as he came to earth, died on the cross for your sins, he rose again, offering eternal life and salvation to all who would believe. And then finally, confessing him as your Lord, committing to obeying Jesus and his word, to live our lives in a way that honor and glorify him. If you're ready to take that step, I would love to hear from you. You can comment here on Facebook or YouTube. You can send me an email at pastormark@dunkirkbaptist.org. You can call the church office, but we would be so excited to hear about this decision, this step of your faith, and we'd love to help you as a local church family to see you connected, to see you growing in your faith. We're not going to be online forever. That's the hope we have. We know that we will be able to join together soon again in worship, and we look forward to doing that. But while we're doing this now, we still want to connect with you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these practical instructions to the early church that apply to us even today, to know that we have to honor and respect the authorities that are in our lives, that when we are employees, we have a boss, we have coworkers, we have people in authority over us, supervisors, coaches, teachers. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to live our lives to honor, to obey, to submit to those authorities. Because when we do that, we show that we submit to your ultimate authority over our lives. Please help us, Lord, in this upcoming week to show love, to show grace, to show your mercy and kindness to those in our workplace, to those in our family, to our neighbors, to anyone that we meet. My beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is never in vain. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, I pray. Amen. Thank you again for joining us this Memorial Day weekend. We're taking time to remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice, and that in Scripture is a picture of what Jesus did for us, that someone would be willing to lay down their life for yours. And I'm so thankful for the men and women over the years who have laid down their lives. We honor them on this Memorial Day weekend. I hope that tomorrow, if the sun is shining, you're able to enjoy the freedoms that we have in this country and to offer up a prayer of thanks for those that gave their lives and pray for the families that have lost loved ones. God bless you and keep you.